Hello and welcome. This is Sharon. I will be reading the pantograph for today, which is Wednesday, November 20th, 2024. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with the Eats of the Week column. Late Night Burrito Bliss. Downtown's Poblano serves fast and flavorful Mexican food. Poblano Burritos has been serving up burritos and more delicious Mexican food in downtown Bloomington since opening its doors in 2015. The Mexican restaurant is owned by Antonio Castro and his wife, Rosa Martinez. Castro is originally from Mexico, but moved to Chicago in 2005 and then to Bloomington Normal in 2007. Castro said he always loved to cook and received a degree in business administration while living in Mexico. He previously worked as the assistant manager and chef at La Bamba before opening Poblano Burritos, which happens to be the original location of La Bamba at 108 West Washington Street in downtown Bloomington. La Bamba Mexican restaurant is still serving the community today at 129 East Beaufort Street in Uptown Normal. When I came here, it was my goal to open a business, Castro said. So I worked towards it and accomplished it, you know, little by little. And when I got the chance to open one, I took it and opened Poblano's. Castro grew up in a town called Puebla, and citizens from there are called Poblanos, which is where the name of the restaurant came from. Castro said he wanted to have a Mexican restaurant that served burritos and tacos, and he felt the name Poblano Burritos fit best. He described the restaurant as fast, serving good and fresh food. I would say it would be the late opening. You know, we're here till late, and we have food after the bars close. You know, college kids. And it's what keeps my business going, Martinez said, of what makes the business unique. Popular menu items include the burritos, of course, along with the quesabirria tacos, which are made with birria beef and cheese and cooked in a pan until the cheese is melted, then served with onion, cilantro, a lime wedge, a side of rice and beans, and broth for dipping. The chimichangas, which are essentially deep-fried burritos, are popular as well. Poblano also offers a daily special, which includes a choice of three tacos with a side of rice and beans for approximately $9. On Taco Tuesdays, tacos are available for about $2. Besides our food being delicious or good, we try to give them, the customers, the best customer service we can, and fast, Castro said. We are here. Customers can come in. They have a 30-minute lunch break. We prep their food in less than 2 minutes, and they're able to sit down and enjoy. Castro added that his favorite part about running the business is being able to communicate with customers. He said their future goal is expansion. He would like to open a second location around the Illinois State University campus in Normal and would also consider neighboring areas such as near the University of Illinois campus in Champaign. We would like to give the community thanks for supporting us because without them, we wouldn't be here for this long. And we always try every day to be here, Castro said. Castro said he also wants to invite and encourage neighboring businesses in the city to come and try the food at Poblano. Editor's note, the quotes from Antonio Castro were translated from Spanish to English by his wife, Rosa Martinez. If you go, again, this is Poblano Burritos at 108 West Washington Street in downtown Bloomington. Their hours are 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Thursday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Mondays, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Tuesday and Wednesday, and they're closed on Sunday. Their telephone number is 309-585-1956, and you can visit them by finding the Poblano Burritos page on Facebook. Normal. Town looks for 4.9% hike in tax levy. The Normal Town Council on Monday started the process of setting the 2024 property tax levy, and while the tax rate is expected to drop, higher assessed values will mean bigger tax bills for many. The town is expected to seek an estimated $14.9 million, which is about 4.9% or about $700,000 more than the 2023 levy. The figure, which is for taxes that are payable in 2025, includes about $4 million for the Normal Public Library. Council members Scott Preston and Kathleen Lorenz voted against the proposed levy, calling for it to remain the same as last year. Even with the higher levy, the town staff projects the property tax rate will decrease about 12 cents, City Manager Pam Reese said. That happens when the value of the tax base grows faster than the levy. Reese said the levy increase would fund city employee pensions and retirement obligations, as well as the library's operations, and contribute $500,000 to the town's general fund for contingencies. The town expects the property tax rate to drop from about $1.21 per $100 of equalized assessed valuation for taxes paid this year to about $1.09 per $100 EAV for taxes payable next year. For a house with a market value of $165,000, the town's share of the property tax bill would drop from about $665.50 to about $599.50, assuming its assessed value has not changed from year to year. With the anticipated residential equalized assessed value growth, a household valued at $165,000 last year can expect their property to be assessed at almost $185,000 this year and can expect a $3.80 increase for the town's portion of their tax bill, according to town documents. Reese said the town's equalized assessed value, the total taxable value of property in the town, has grown about 16.5% because of the growth in the residential, commercial, and industrial sectors locally. This is partly attributed to Rivian Automotive's growth and the end of the automaker's property tax abatement in 2022. Preston and Lorenz argued the town should forego the $500,000 set aside from the levy for the contingency fund, eliminate the $700,000 levy increase, and give taxpayers a break. Preston said $500,000 is roughly 0.5% of the town's general fund revenue from this fiscal year. Lorenz noted that even with a tax rate cut, higher assessments are increasing tax bills. She called for leaving the levy the same as 2023 and finding other ways to meet the town's levy-funded obligations. She pointed to the 1% municipal grocery tax passed by the council in September, replacing one ended by the state, and said the council should be looking to provide residents some relief during times of inflation. I think we need to give our taxpayers a break wherever we can find it, Lorenz said. Councilmember Kevin McCarthy said inflation also is increasing the town's costs, and that if the $500,000 contingency fund were removed, then the town would need to look at cutting services. Mayor Chris Coos said the staff always presents a tight budget, and the council has to be mindful that a $500,000 cut from the contingency fund would mean a project not being funded or employees being cut. Coos added the town has been fortunate enough to stay up to date in areas like replacing lead water pipes while maintaining small incremental water rate increases. Some communities have passed the cost of such projects on to ratepayers in bigger jumps, he said. I'm not going to get into the argument of whether people need $7 every year or not, Coos said, referring to changes in tax bills. I don't think that's appropriate to this discussion. What's appropriate is we continue to deliver high-quality services and support people that deliver those services in our community. The levy will return to the council for final approval at its December 16th meeting. McLean County then will calculate the final tax rate after determining normal's equalized assessed value. West College Avenue. The council approved a joint funding agreement for construction work with the Illinois Department of Transportation for a 0.05-mile stretch of West College Avenue from the Norfolk Southern Railway tracks east to White Oak Road. College Avenue from Rivian Motorway to White Oak Road is an arterial street providing access to commercial, industrial, and residential properties. The street provides truck and employee access to Rivian Automotive's manufacturing facility and has seen rapid concrete joint decay in the curb and gutter and pavement sections. West College Avenue from Rivian Motorway east to the railroad tracks currently is under construction. The total estimated cost for the West College rehabilitation from Rivian Motorway to White Oak Road is $1.257 million, with $1 million in federal surface transportation funds, $7,000 from the State Truck Access Route Program, and $250,000 from the town's motor fuel tax and roadway funds. Planned roadway improvements include reconstruction of the pavement and concrete curbs, traffic signals and turn lane improvements at the intersection of White Oak Road, new inlets and storm sewers, a new sidewalk on the south side, a new 10-foot multi-use path on the north side of West College Avenue, new railroad safety crossing gates for the sidewalk and trail. Construction of the final section is tentatively planned for fall 2025 through spring 2026, pending final approval from Norfolk Southern, the Illinois Commerce Commission, and IDOT. Franklin Avenue Bridge. Additionally, the council approved another joint funding agreement with IDOT for the Franklin Avenue Bridge over the north branch of Sugar Creek, north of Virginia Avenue. The bridge, about one block north of Carl Broman Medical Center, is in poor condition and the adjacent pedestrian bridge is closed due to safety concerns. The bridge was constructed in 1940, according to town documents. Repairs were made in 2002, but additional spalling and corrosion have happened since. The town applied for Illinois Special Bridge Program funding in 2019 and was awarded $1.56 million in 2020 to help pay construction-related costs for this project. The total estimated project cost for design and construction is approximately $2.5 million, according to town documents. Motor fuel tax funds, stormwater funds, and grant funds are budgeted for the project. Construction is tentatively planned for summer 2025, pending final approval from IDOT. Today's Flick Fact question: in Illinois, what are the days of a week that you're most likely to get a speeding ticket? And what is the one day you're least likely to get a speeding ticket? Well, the answer, according to Illinois State Police statistics, up to 30% more tickets are written on Saturdays and Sundays. Tuesdays are consistently the slowest day for ticket writing. From the back pages of the Pantograph, how time flies locally. 100 years ago, on November 20, 1924, John Schwenk, held in jail on a murder charge in Woodford County, said the killing of Fred Michael Sr. was an accident that happened when he attempted to shoot in the air. Schwenk said he became angry at Michaels because the phone line was out of order and he was trying to call a friend with whom he was going hunting. He denied that he was drunk, saying he had only drank 7 or 8 glasses of wine, not sufficient to intoxicate him. 75 years ago, on November 20th, 1949, long-haired Illinois Wesleyan University students go cat every Friday afternoon from 3 to 5 p.m. in the school's Memorial Center Grill, turning out for the coffee drinkers there a variety of music that's called bop. All the performers in the unrehearsed sessions are music majors. Arrangements for the sponsored weekly combo are made by Jim Lucas, president of the student union, in an effort to bring music and liberal arts students together and to satisfy campus bop lovers. 50 years ago, November 20th, 1974. University Liquors at 706 West Beaufort in Normal has dropped its monthly orders of 600 to 700 cases of Gallo wine at the urging of the United Farm Workers Support Coalition. Owner Thomas Bland said he agreed with the coalition to leave present stock on the shelf, but ordered no more until the end of the United Farm Worker Union's dispute with the International Brotherhood of Teamsters over representation of California farm workers. And 25 years ago today, November 20th, 1999, costs for outpatient procedures at the 2 Bloomington Normal hospitals are below the Central Illinois average, according to data from 1997. The figures rebut a claim that Dr. Thomas Pallura used to win approval from the Illinois Health Facilities Planning Board for a new outpatient surgery center in Normal. Election 2025. Council, school board, Heartland candidates file for the spring ballot. City, town, and school board leadership will be on the ballot this spring, and candidates are back on the trail. Monday was the deadline to file for a number of contests on the April 1st ballot, and the filing period for others took place in late October. Offices that will be on the ballot in the consolidated election include Bloomington and Normal Mayor and City Council, Bloomington District 87 and McLean County Unit 5 School Board, and Heartland Community College Board of Trustees. In Bloomington, three candidates are in the running for Mayor of Bloomington: Dan Brady, Cody Kendricks, and the incumbent. Dan Brady is an associate director of the Kibley Brady Russman Memorial Home, who started his political career as the McLean County Coroner. He later served as state representative in districts that covered parts of Bloomington Normal for more than 20 years. Most recently, he was the Republican nominee for Illinois Secretary of State in 2022. Cody Kendricks, a civics and economic teacher at Olympia High School, serves as alderman for Bloomington Ward 6. He was elected to the City Council in April 2023. He previously served on the Pekin City Council and has sat on the Sister City and Beautification Committees in Bloomington. Boca Willimambi, an assistant director in Illinois State University's Office of Equal Opportunity and Access, has served as mayor of Bloomington since his election in April 2021. He was first appointed to the City Council in 2011, representing Ward 3, and then elected to the position in 2013. He served as mayor pro tem from 2019 until he became mayor. The City Council has five seats up for election. The following candidates had filed. In Ward 1, Benjamin Zimmerman is challenging incumbent Jenna Kearns, who was elected in 2023. In Ward 3, Sheila Montney is running for re-election unopposed. She was first elected in 2021. Ward 5, Mike Straza is running unopposed. Nick Becker, who's represented Ward 5 since 2021, told the Pantograph in August that he did not intend to run for re-election. Ward 7, Molly Ward is running for re-election unopposed. She was appointed to the council in 2020 and elected in 2021. Ward 9, Abby Scott and Roger Biedecker are in the running to succeed Alderman Tom Crumpler, who has held the seat since 2021 and announced in August that he would not seek re-election. In Normal, three candidates are vying for mayor: Chemberly Harris, Kathleen Lorenz, and Chris Coos, the incumbent. Chemberly Harris is a technology analyst at State Farm, who was first elected to the Normal Town Council in 2017. Kathleen Lorenz is Director of Administration for Home Sweet Home Ministries. Having previously worked with the United Way of McLean County, she was elected to the Town Council in 2015. Chris Coos, owner of Vitesse Cycle Shop and off and running in Uptown Normal, has served as the town's mayor since 2003, following the resignation of former Mayor Kent Carricker. He was first elected to council in 2001. Coos also serves on the Amtrak Board of Directors as vice president of the Illinois Municipal League and as vice chair of the Transportation Committee of the U.S. Conference of Mayors. Three council terms are set to expire in April, currently held by Kevin McCarthy, Scott Preston, and Harris. McCarthy and Preston both filed for re-election, having been on the council since 2012 and 2013, respectively. Rory Roberge, a member of the McLean County Regional Planning Commission, is also seeking a seat. Two incumbents and one newcomer are running for three open seats on the McLean County Unit 5 School Board. Kentresa Coleman, current board vice president, and Stan Gozier are back on the ballot this election, having been elected in 2021. Patrick Manieria, who previously served as treasurer on the steering committee that advocated for Unit 5's 2022 tax referendum, is also running. Board President Jeremy DeHay, who was elected alongside Gozier and Coleman in 2021, did not file for re-election. Unit 5 board members serve four-year terms. Four seats are on the ballot for Bloomington District 87 School Board, and four unopposed incumbents have filed for re-election. Elizabeth Fox Anvik, current board president, first elected in 2017. Bridget Gibson, appointed to the board in 2016 and elected in 2017. Chuck Irwin, current board vice president, first elected in 2017. Kathy Lust, appointed in 2023. District 87 board members serve four-year terms. Two incumbents and two challengers have filed to run for the Heartland Community College Board of Trustees. Three seats are up for election, each for six-year terms. The candidates include Janet Hood, current board vice chair, appointed to the board in 2017 and elected in 2019. Thomas Witt, elected in 2019. Lori Bergner, a clinical psychologist and director of community education for the League of Women Voters of McLean County. David Selzer, former McLean County board member. Jeff Flessner, who has served on the board since 2013, announced this week that he's resigning effective December 1st. His term expires in 2025. The board has 60 days from December 1st to appoint a trustee to fill that vacancy, who will serve until a new trustee is elected and sworn in. The Pantograph has a commitment to accuracy and wants you to let them know about issues regarding accuracy and fairness. You can contact them by writing to ojacobs@pantograph.com or call 309-820-3242. And setting it right, in an information box for a story titled Holiday Trees, Decor Again, Raise Money for Baby Fold, that was printed on page A1 of Tuesday's edition of the Pantograph. There was an incorrect date provided for the Baby Folds Festival of Trees. The Festival of Trees is scheduled for 4 to 8 p.m. on Thursday and from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. We'll take a short break now, and then I'll return with the second half of the Pantograph for Wednesday, November 20th, 2024. Please stay tuned.